That COVID
Ugh, kill me.
outro.
Blah, 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 blah. Make noises like a Klingon. Blah, 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 blah.
Did you just challenge me to the duel?
I did. However, I win. I win. Always. Jesus. I promise I am trying not to die, people. So, welcome to the Toddcast. Sorry.
There
All
you go.
right. Well,
Wet your
some
whistle.
right. So some things coming up that everyone should be aware of. April 1st. Yes, I know it's in the middle of Steel City Con. It is the anniversary sale of the Pittsburgh Mills. Why? Because it falls on the actual day the mills opened, which was April Fool's Day. So lots of stuff on sale. All their dollar books are going to be half off. That whole room, half off dollar books. Come and dig. It's going to be a good time. The 16th of April, we have our one day Pittsburgh Comics and Collectibles show that we will be doing in Monroeville with the guys from Space Time Toys. These guys have been great. They run the Living Dead Weekend. It's gonna be sweet. So make sure you check that out. And
I will be
then
there for autographs.
I think it's just the big show, or well, Free Comic Book Day is coming up. So don't forget about that. I swear there's something else I'm missing in between.
I'm sure we'll figure it out and we'll announce
Yeah,
next
whatever.
week.
Speaking of
We're just getting you ready
announcements,
for the next 2 months
right?
here, guys.
Speaking of announcements, we announced yesterday Andrew Pepoy is coming to Three Rivers Comic Con. If you guys haven't seen his work, it is stupid large. He did a ton of Fables. He did Mutant X. He did X-Men. He did Batman. He did Superman. Simpsons. Archie, Afterlife with Archie, Archie versus Predator, Archie versus Predator 2, Betty and Veronica, all kinds of stuff. He is an amazingly talented artist. I'm real excited to have him come out and hang out with us. So I actually checked the other day. I walked over to the Fable section, and I was like, one, two, three, four, five, six volumes of Fables with his name on it.
There
Awesome.
you go.
And he's going to do a Fables panel with Russ Braun, who also worked on Fables.
There you
So
go.
it's
We're
going to be a good
slowly
time,
getting it
people.
together, guys. Slowly getting it together. We're not on the ball
And
as we were last year.
it's true. It's true. Next week, you'll probably start seeing posters and postcards in the stores and some of our supporting stores. Please make sure you check that out. It's going to be a good time. Get your tickets now so you don't have to wait in line as long. And remember, you can pre-order your shirt with our awesome art on it right now. Right now. Now, now. Not then, now. Now, now. Also then, now. But now, now. Up through May 1st. That is the cutoff for the order, so make sure you get that in. I've already had a couple guys order. Very excited to see that kick out. All right. I guess we should talk comic books. I guess. All right. I don't remember which one I have on first, but I put yours in here too. So, oh, it's mine.
Okay, there we go.
All right. So, first, Superman Lost, number one. This book, this book is awesome. It is also weirdly, it has a Gotham Knights ad in it, which I thought that show got canceled, but I guess not. Eh, whatever. Anyway, this book is awesome because it's like, it's like Superman and her Lois and Clark are talking about stuff, and then You know, they go to bed, and she's like, "Oh, is that beeping for me or for you?" And he's like, "Oh, it's me." So she kind of like falls asleep on the laptop, and he flies away, and he comes back, and he just stares out the window, and she's like talking to him, and eventually she's like, "What the fuck is wrong with you? Hello?" And he's like, "I've been gone." And she's like, "Yeah, you were gone for like, you know, 10 minutes or whatever. Like, you know, it's pretty quick." He's like, "No, I've been gone for 20 years. And she's like, "What?" So the doorbell rings and it's Batman. And he's like, "Hey, I have some news." And then he looks in and sees him standing there. And he's like, "What?" So they tell him about this thing the Justice League got sent to. So initially they thought it was some kind of sub being attacked or something. Well, eventually they find out it's not. It's actually some kind of alien craft. And the only person that can go in there to stop it from basically, like, blowing up the planet is Superman. So we send him in there. And, like, the rope, like, Lois's, or Wonder Woman's rope, like, snaps, which is impossible. There's, like, a giant whirlpool. Superman gets lost in there, and then all of a sudden, like, they're like, "Oh crap, someone has to tell Lois that we lost Superman," and then it basically loops back to where we were at the beginning of the book.
It's they are trying to do Lost, and they're just doing it with Superman with it.
No. Yes and no, like, Lost as in, like, lost in time. So...
But this feels like something from Lost.
I think it actually feels more like Ant-Man get it, like Janet being lost in the quantum realm and then coming back. Okay,
all right.
That's what it feels like more to me. Because it's more about physics and stuff like that. I really thought the book was awesome. I had a lot of fun reading it. Okay. And I think that everyone should check it out.
That's the second Superman you have
right?
Doted on
somehow
in 2 weeks.
And somehow I missed Action Comics. Or did that come out last week and I just didn't read it?
I think it came out last week, if I'm not mistaken.
I don't think so. I don't see it.
I could be wrong because I don't pay attention to Superman comics, so it's...
I mean, it could have, and I just missed it. I think I just missed it. I'm going to have to pick that up, but it looked good, so...
There you go.
All right. Onward!
All right.
Boom, your turn.
Okay. Yeah, there it is. Okay. Since... We all love a good sequel to the original. I kind of wanted to start on this one because I did read the original Last Ronin. And I liked it. And I think if it wasn't for all the delays, I think it would have been much bigger, even though it was huge. What? The first issue was huge. But then what? It got delayed. And then all of a sudden, all the momentum that first issue built up died. But
Well, it's also a different creative team.
Yeah,
right. It's not the original. It's not Eastman and Laird like it was on the first Last Ronin.
Yeah, but I read the Last Ronin here. Well, I don't think I talked about the first issue one. Issue one kind of goes back to where he's like a lot of the dead time that you don't know where Michelangelo was and how he, you know, did how he lived and everything. But the second one here, you get a little bit of that, but the second one is years later. and you meet four new Ninja Turtles, which I'm kind of curious about. New Turtles. And it's a very, I want to say an elderly April O'Neil. And of course, Casey is the master. So she's teaching the new turtles who are, I would say they're probably 10, 11 years old. They're not quite teenage, but they're on that cusp. They're almost tweeners at this point. So far it's kind of gotten me intrigued. This is going to be a series of a lot of flashbacks, flash forwards. So you get a little bit of fill in here, but then you get a lot of the stuff that happens after the original book ends. So it's interesting to see. I can see where they're going with certain aspects of the story already. Because I believe Michelangelo gets attacked. One of his flashbacks, he gets attacked for just being different. A group of humans are like, call him freak, and they try to kill him. And of course, he takes care of them. Doesn't hurt, like kill them, but he makes sure they don't bother him again.
Right.
So, but I'm definitely intrigued to see where this goes.
So will the sequel series be called Tweenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
As long as it's not called Twilight. Teenage Mutant Turtle Twilight Lost Ronin. Because if they start sparkling, I'm done.
That's terrible.
It is.
All right, my next book is Hellcat number one. This is Cantwell continuing more Hellcat stuff from Iron Man. And this
I love the variants of some of these books. Excellent.
The art in this book is just absolutely amazing, and it fits the book so well. It's by Alex Lins, and the colors are by KJ Diaz, and like everything works for this so well. And it's very much so a partially like a flashback into Patsy's life of why she's so messed up. And because she gets basically framed for killing someone, and you find out that that guy used to date one of her friends, and the friend is like a friend from high school, and they had a kind of a sketchy past, Patsy is just trying to figure out who killed this dude. So she goes and checks out the scene after everything is done, and she's like, only one person could have done this like this. So she goes and finds Rick Sheridan, aka Sleepwalker. So Sleepwalker, she then finds, is a separate entity from him at this point, but the larger collective has suspended him from doing anything because they think that he killed Spalding Grantham, who's the guy that the police think that Patsy killed. And she's like, well, why would you kill him? And he's like, out of jealousy. And she's like, why? And he's like, because I'm in love with you. And she's like, God damn it. So... So it was very interesting to see, like, it's a very interesting back and forth to see what is actually going on with that. But it's a very noir-y book, which is what I like about it.
More Hellcat from Jessica Jones, Netflix Jessica Jones, or is this more?
I mean, it's the same Patsy Walker. It's just not, like... It's more along the lines of what we traditionally know in the comics, not...
Okay. Because it sounds super dark.
Oh, it is. It's very dark.
Okay.
But I like Cantwell. He did really well with Iron Man. sorry, an Iron Man with Patsy Walker in it. So I'm really excited to see it continue on. I think she's a great character, and not a lot of people give her enough love. So go check it out. Patsy Walker, a.k.a. Hellcat. Even though it's not a.k.a. Hellcat, it's just Patsy Walker, or it's just Hellcat this time.
Okay.
Your turn.
All right. For those who have not been keeping up with the Wolverine, and this is a little bit of the X-Force too. It seems to be both of them kind of colliding. I don't know how far some of you guys are in this, but basically Beast has kind of went rogue over all mutants at this point. Now, this has nothing to do with the Sinister stuff at all, so keep that in mind. If you guys are going, oh, that's because he's part of the whole Sinister. This has nothing to do with Sinister anything. This is Beast doing stuff on his own. Basically, he kept killing Wolverine and then realiving him without his, like, with messing with his mind, because, you know, why else? What else can you possibly do to Wolverine but keep messing with this man's mind over and over again? But he finally, Krakoa and some of the X-Force finally get Wolverine back to his senses and normal Wolverine. He's going after Beast. But you think he kills Beast, but in reality, Beast is just cloning himself. And he has like 20 some odd clones. So in a way, he's kind of pulling Sinister type stuff. But you don't see the diamond on his head like you do in some of the Sinister stuff. He also takes a part of Krakoa and is like, he doesn't want the mutants knowing what he's doing. He doesn't want the humans to know what he's doing. He's like, this is all for the greater good, blah, blah, blah. Like any good villain does.
Right.
So Wolverine's sitting there trying to stop him, and it's him and the rest of X-Force are trying to like stop him in this book. And it's really good. Like, I know like the beginning of this Wolverine volume was very blah and very, very slow. But it is very, it has picked up a lot. I want to say since probably issue 15 or so and into the current. And I would also recommend reading the X-Force to go with it, because those two stories seem to go back and forth with him on this. It's really, really good. This is the best Wolverine I've been reading since, can I say since like the early volume three Marvel Knights stuff? I mean, it's solid writing. The art's solid. I'm not going to complain about the art. Very rarely do I hate any Wolverine art, but the story for sure is definitely, it's not as convoluted as Origins, and it definitely better than some of the Ramia stuff from the decade or so ago. This is definitely a more cohesive, kind of keeping it Krakoa involved in it. Just really good issue. And for those who are like Wolverine fans, if you're not reading this current volume, you're missing out. It's solid.
Good deal. I was just excited to see all the Beast clones. I was like, what the fuck is going on there?
Yeah. Oh, and the end of this episode, he's making a whole bunch of Wolverine clones.
Not again.
It's gonna pick up.
Not again.
Yeah, but it's not X-23.
It's gonna fight everyone. Well, continuing the X people talk, we'll talk about Excellent number one. This is season two of Excellent, by the Allreds, which is, and Peter McGillen, which are the Ecstatic people. And in the first volume, we saw Zeitgeist create a team of dead ecstatics to become the Excellence. And they steal a spell from Doctor Strange's one of Doctor Strange's books so that they can become basically like Lord of the World. And the way they need to do it is they need to get more likes or be more popular than the ecstatics. So they have to be, they're trying to get more likes on social media so that people like them more. And so it's actually pretty cool. Watching them figure out how to spy on each other and like the ecstatics team, like the sweat dude and that dead girl are breaking up and the normal team, like regular dead girl and Zeitgeist, are trying to get everybody to like work for them, and it's just like this real crazy crazy thing. And Mr. Sensitive is the team leader for the ecstatics right now, and he talks to Doctor Strange via a psychic link, and he's like, two spells have actually been stolen, one to make you god, a kind of a god with the power to rule the world and change your course history, and the other one to help you find your lost dog. And Mr. Sensitive is just like, I don't think Zeitgeist has a dog. So that part was kind of funny.
Oh god.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Like if you've read their stuff, it's crazy, crazy fun. The team's hilarious, the art's amazing. If you're at all interested, because like remember Zeitgeist was in Deadpool 2.
It might be in Deadpool 3, who knows?
He might be, you never know. But it's a fun ride. I really recommend people checking out Ecstatics. It's always been a fun book for me. So all right. Let's get you yours. Oh wait.
This is going to be another 1-2. Since we've been gone for so long, I have to do like from the beginning to current.
I'm going to let you talk about this. I have not read issue 2 yet, but I've read issue 1, and I will throw my 2 cents in when you're done so far.
Oh, well, you might as well do it now. Like, go for it.
I am not super happy with this book. I think it's like real convoluted and kind of dumb, but
To the last one,
the last one I actually liked a lot, because it was one team and it focused, and it was one team bouncing around, like it was like a Exiles type thing with Masters of the Universe. This is like just like Zodiac and the Sorceress just watching. It's like they're in Mojo World and they're just flipping through the channels.
Well, it's just kind of like a what if universe is basically what I consider what's going on with this. For those who don't know what we're talking about, this is Masters of the Universe, Masterverse, which, you know, if you don't get enough multiverse from DC or Marvel,
you're a Masterverse.
Here's Masters of the Universe with Masterverse. To be fair, some of this, I'm enjoying the art much more than the last book.
I will say that
much nicer. This is more towards, you see a lot of what the 2010 He-Man-esque in here, where for those who love that cartoon, even though it didn't last very long, I see a lot of that in this art, and I appreciate that. Now, I think the first two books are just kind of the intros. for those who don't know, they've gone to different universes where certain He-Mans make certain decisions. Certain characters are not exactly good and or evil. They've switched. What I think there was one where Orko and what's his name? God damn it. Not Skeletor, but the other skeleton guy.
Scareglow.
Scareglow. They're best friends in this one universe. And Scareglow actually sacrifices his life for Orko. And I'm like, okay, that's a little thrown off, but I can dig it because I'm cool with different possibilities and being open to it. I don't know how long the series is going to be. I'm hoping like 10 issues, and just the first two are just kind of slow burners.
Right.
But
you want to know something cool? The guy who lettered this book is going to be at our con.
There we go. All right. Well, good.
Go, Darren.
There you go. Then I'll give him a copy of mine and he can sign it for me.
I'm
cool with that. But I'm enjoying it so far just because it's kind of opening doors for certain things. You saw a little bit of it in the last volume of the multi-masterverse where, you know, different He-Mans were all good. Or, you know, different versions of them. Well, now you get to see the different universes as a whole. And I'm kind of cool with it. Like you said, it seems very scattered brained. But I'm betting any money that it'll probably be more focused in the next few issues after this.
Right.
So, meanwhile, like I said, I'm loving the art. I like certain possibilities. I like the certain aspects you saw. There were some that was like the art was a little, I saw there was like a noir He-Man and it kind of was slightly disturbing to me, but
the black and white, the Victor Santos part of this book, because looked awesome.
But I'm not used to seeing He-Man look like a drugged out heroin addict, so
that's
it kind of threw me off, and I'm like, is this
it was like Sin City Masters of the Universe style.
Yes, yeah.
And
yeah,
which is why I kind of dug it. Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm enjoying it. It's a little bit out of my realm because it's Dark Horse, and I usually don't pick up a lot of Dark Horse. So let's see where this goes. Broaden my horizon a little bit.
Yeah, I dig it a lot though. I really thought it was fun. So,
but yeah.
sorry.
So, should we talk about the good stuff or the bad stuff first?
I guess we'll talk about the bad stuff.
Well, I guess it depends on your definition of bad. For those who are Willow fans, sorry, but Disney said, and it's done.
Yeah, that sucks. Because that show is very good.
The first George Lucas project that Disney has canceled ever.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, wow, that's
right?
Bad. I think we even hired a couple of our customers at the waterfront today. They're like, I don't understand why they didn't. I was like, well...
Right.
You know, they didn't concentrate on Willow enough. I think that was part of the issue. Is like, look, I'm all down for new characters, and yes, time has gone by, but the whole point of Willow is Willow. You can't not have him in the whole.
I think it was because Mad Mardigan wasn't there. I think
that hurt a little bit too.
But.
What are you going to do, right? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
He's not well. He's not doing Hollywood anymore. He'll make cameos, or you'll see, like, he'll give his permission to use his image or whatever.
Right.
But you know, it's, you can't.
Yeah.
So
I thought it was great. I liked that season a lot. I wish it got at least a second one. But that is quite the bummer because I really enjoyed it. I also think a lot of people, much like the actual movie when it came out, like played into the hate and the oh, this is stupid and blah, 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 and it's super woke and blah, 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 blah. And then now, like in like 3 years, people are going to be like, man, I really wish this had more.
I mean, I remember what? I'd never watched Willow in the theaters. I watched it from VHS. Mm-hmm.
Same.
And it would be like my grandmother would get me Willow. She would rent me Labyrinth.
Mm-hmm.
And I never saw those in theaters as a kid.
Me either.
I saw that stuff on VHS. And I just remember every summer, Labyrinth, Willow, a couple other things.
Yep.
Over the Top, which I don't know why. Probably because I needed a strong Italian man to watch or something. Sure. I don't know. I don't know why you would expose an 8-year-old to arm wrestling with Sylvester Stallone in it. I don't know. Right. Not something that I could, but I can remember the damn movie.
I saw Cocaine Bear is already for rent on Amazon, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nice.
I'm gonna check how much that is because I am curious. Because like I told my wife, she's like, it's probably like $20, and I'm like, well, yeah, probably, but I'm like I'd rent it for her just to watch it. It's hilarious.
Violent Night yet?
No, I haven't.
Watch that. That is.
Is it for rent yet? Like, can I rent it?
It's on Peacock.
Amazon?
It's on Peacock.
I don't have Peacock.
God damn it, John!
It's like the only one I don't have.
Well, Peacock's free though, I think.
No, it's not.
It's not anymore.
It's not.
Okay, no. I thought it used to be free. But
no, I don't think it was ever free. Like you can do like a free trial, but it was never free.
I guess we got it free because we had, I think it was an Xfinity deal.
Oh, that might
if
be.
You have Xfinity, you got free Peacock. Although I think they're stopping that this year. So if you have. If you're grandfathered in, they can't do anything about it. But if you join Xfinity this year, tough pits. So you ain't seeing it.
Right. Well, I know there's a lot of them that like you get like a year's free of whatever. Like we got a year's free of Apple TV from my iPad purchase and then from our Verizon. But all right, hold on. Let me look here.
But my wife also watched that Megan last night.
How was that?
She gave it a solid 6 out of 10. And she's like, if you're thinking it's like Chucky, it's not. And I'm like, okay. I was like, but I think that's what a lot of people thought it was going to be. It was going to be the female version of Chucky.
All right. You can rent this movie. For $20. You can buy this movie for $25. Not really worth, I don't think that's worth it at all.
I'll wait till it comes out in Blu-ray.
I mean, I don't know if it'd be worth $20. Like, I guess if there's like 3 or 4 of you watching it, that's worth it. Like, or yeah, I might watch it
and you want to watch
it, like if my wife and I want to watch it like 3 days in a row, like we know we're going to watch it multiple times, cool.
Yeah,
but you know, I can wait 30 more days and have it be for like $6.
yeah but
hilarious. Yeah, hilarious. Go see Cocaine Bear, it's worth it.
Yeah,
see it in the theater. It's totally worth it in the theater. It's worth the $20 in the theater.
For those who are going to the theater this weekend, this is gonna be a good weekend.
Shazam
coming out.
Yeah.
John Wick 4.
Yeah.
From what I hear, all the reviews for John Wick 4, they said it's as good as the first one. So if it's as good as the first one, I'm probably gonna see that.
Did you know they did the Shazam premiere in Philadelphia?
No, I did not.
Well, because that's where takes place this time. So,
oh, there you go.
And apparently Wonder Woman's in it. That's what I hear.
Yeah, I saw the they showed the previews of it already.
Yeah.
In the preview, they have him at the end.
Yeah.
Or her, I should say, her at the end.
Yeah. Too bad we're still not going to get any more Gal Gadot, but whatever.
Well, that we know of.
I don't think we will, but
they might change their mind because James Gunn will be like, oh crap, I made a mistake. I might have to change my mind on this.
Right.
I do remember him saying that this week is he's not going to change his philosophy or something, but he will change his mind on areas of the DC movie universe that he's working on if it makes sense to him.
Right.
So we'll see how that goes. Hopefully he'll get it, you know, he'll be like, okay, what were the good parts of the DC EU that, you know, granted there are very few, but I don't blame certain actors as much as I blame the writing and...
Oh yeah, the writing was garbage for most of it. So yeah.
I mean, it's...
But I thought Henry Cavill was a great Superman.
Yeah, like Henry Cavill he was good. Bad. Gal Gadot was that.
Gal Gadot was an awesome Wonder Woman.
Ezra Miller, I could have did without. I still could do without him. Him being kind of a schmuck doesn't help.
Yeah.
So, you know. Eh.
Yeah.
And even Ben Affleck, you know what? You know.
He was a great Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, I was gonna say I didn't mind him in his role. Could he have been a better Batman? Yeah.
Yeah.
But we can say that about any of the Batmans, you know. Yeah. We all loved certain Batman.
Batman's.
Multiple bats.
Right. So all right, so I guess now we'll talk about Mandalorian, and then we'll wrap it up a little early again tonight, because I don't think we're going to talk about Mandalorian for 20 minutes.
We could.
So I really liked the Din parts of this episode a lot, mostly because they bookended it, and it was kind of interesting to see Bo-Katan kind of go, oh, there are Mandalorians that still want to hang out, and I guess I'll try this out. I thought that was kind of an interesting take, because she was so, you know, like my whole royal family is dead and blah blah blah, like everything sucks, and then, you know, to like watch the TIE fighters blow up her freaking palace was awesome. And that was a really awesome fight scene too. Like, I don't usually like
it was a good dog
like
fight.
Ships fight scene. Yeah. Like dog fight scenes, but holy crap, was that good?
I was going to say, it's probably one of the better ship fights.
Yeah.
I don't want to say since like the original trilogy, probably.
Yeah. And then, the middle part with the doctor, I'm trying to remember him from season one and two. So his has always been like one episode a piece, and it's been like, basically like he's the guy that ends up doing the cloning stuff to bring Palpatine back. Right.
Yeah.
Is that
well, his okay. His research.
Okay, it's, okay.
I don't know if he does it per se, as we find out in this, you know, episode.
Yeah.
You'd say it. Spoilers, please. So we don't
spoilers.
Get all that, guys.
A mind flayer shows up.
Yeah.
D&D. Stranger Things.
What Stranger Things?
Yeah, I was gonna say all of a sudden.
Which
it's an
one
of Stranger Things,
you take your pick,
right?
But I'm gonna credit this to there's a show on YouTube, like ours. Yep. He's called Screen Crush. Mm-hmm. He kind of looks like a helper from Blockbuster, but he does the after for certain shows like Star Wars. He is also a big comic guy himself. But he made a lot of connections of, we needed that middle part with the Doctor, because you see where the seeds were sown for Palpatine's revival, and you also see the seeds of the new Empire,
the new order, or the first order.
So you see like where the start of it is,
and that was kind of why I was like, I gave this episode a little more credence than I probably would have normally, but it was very much so like that, kind of like how you said, it was like a connector piece, right? Where you get those little bits, and we've had these in the last seasons too, where they're like the little bits that make this line. So if Mandalorian is supposed to be the middle piece between episodes 6 and 7, it's doing its job, right? Yeah. Especially now that we're not going to get like a Rogue Squadron movie, or what was the other one? Like, we're not getting a Han Solo sequel, or we're not getting whatever the other one was. Although I really wouldn't mind a Han Solo sequel. I thought it was fine. I'd like to see more Han like post episode 6, though. Like,
yeah,
you know, but
yeah, what happens, that's going like, to be afterwards. Yeah,
yeah, but it's going to be really hard to do that without Carrie Fisher now. So
yeah,
I guess we'll just wait for her daughter to age up, and then we'll be fine.
Oh my. No, I see like where, like you said, where that was going, you see where the seeds are sown. This does open up to possible return of Moff Gideon, which I'm down for. I loved him in first and second season, you know.
Yeah.
And I forget the actor's name.
The guy that plays Moff Gideon?
Yeah.
Oh, I can't remember. He was in The Boys too.
Yeah, and Breaking Bad. He was the guy in Breaking Bad. So he's really good at playing really evil characters. You know, so I'm down for it if he makes the reemergence. I kind of don't know where Bo-Katan is just gonna be at this. I don't know if this is going to be one of those starts of she's going to betray Din Djar, because I have the feeling that, you know, she still wants to be the leader, number one, you know? And she's not going to let him stop her or the armorer stop her, because I think there's going to be a battle with either him and her, or the armorer versus her, which I kind of would like to see, because I think the armorer is pretty badass.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't mind that at all.
I would be interested to see if Bo-Katan can somehow infiltrate, and then, like, not an infiltrate necessarily like with malice, but infiltrate and then get them to understand that that actually isn't what they should be doing. And stuff. But I also thought it was cool, like somebody else mentioned it, that like all those Mandalorians you see are all Ralph McQuarrie designs, like original designs for Boba Fett and the Mandalorians that we never got to see come to life. And it's awesome. And I love it. So, and Big Blue. Big Blue is awesome. I love Big Blue.
Yeah. But I think it's him and Bo-Katan, I think, could
end up throwing out
like,
yeah.
No, I think they could be a power couple, so to speak. And I'm thinking like of the worst case scenario where those two go against the armor and Dar Djinn.
Fair.
You know, and it could be the end of the Mandalores, period, because these two got too greedy, or they wanted the way things their way instead of following the way. So, Lord knows, I'm kind of looking forward. I don't know how many seasons they want the Mandalore to keep going. Isn't it signed on for another like 2 or 3 years yet after this year?
Because
they announced it pretty quickly that they renewed it, like really quick.
Let's see if IMDb will tell us. No, it just says up to 3. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I bet it goes max 6 seasons. Max is my guess. But
now will we see the child actually be a legit Mandalorian?
I don't think so. I think what's going to happen is right before the child actually gets to do that, like, I bet they craft that little fucking helmet and everything for him, and then he finally gets captured by what will be the First Order to use into the cloning machines, because that's what they need to do, and that's why they needed him for in the whole first season and second season. That's why they were after him in the beginning. I think that's what's going to happen, that he's finally going to do it, and then Jin's just going to, like, go completely apeshit.
He's going to
kill everybody. Yeah. So, and maybe that'll be the end of the Mandalorians that way. I don't know. But I love that what's it called? The big thing that was under the water. Like the thing that the original Mandalorian.
Yeah. The rider. I can't
remember the name of it, but like, I thought it was cool that thing was just sleeping in the water. And I'm like, oh, that's not foreshadowing at all. Good job.
No, but does that mean Darjin is going to ride him, and he again is going to do one of those prophesized things of, this is going to be the leader of the Mandalorians, period? Or do you think, you know, Bo-Katan will be like, no, I'm not going to let you do this. I'm not. Mm. You already have the saber, you know. I'm not going to let you have this too. Of course, that's probably why she's like, did you see anything down there?
Right.
And he's like, well, I was kind of unconscious. So kind of no.
Right. No, I was a bit sleepy.
It's kind of drowning. Although, does it seem like he's getting his ass kicked a lot in his first couple episodes?
Yeah. I'm wondering if that's kind of the thing. Like, they wanted to develop other characters, so they did that.
Like, yeah, we don't want you being OP, so we're just gonna smack you around a little bit and be like,
right,
okay, we're gonna let other characters do some stuff, and then you can, like, at the end, we'll make you OP again. Don't worry. You know, the last couple, all of a sudden, he just hulks out and does an elbow drop off the top rope. And
power, like, don't worry about it, you'll be fine. Gideon. Be fine later. So, all right, well, that kind of wraps it up for this week, guys. Keep an eye out on social media. We are coming back every week. As far as I know, I don't see any issues in the future, at least not until, like, closer to the convention. Make sure you guys follow your local indie comics, your local comic shop in general, and make sure you follow Three Rivers Comic Con as well for all of your guest announcements and stuff that goes along with the show. I can tell you, we are 20 booths from selling out. So if anyone is interested in getting that booth, you know somebody, tell them to do it now, like right now, not then, now. So yeah. Don't wait. So cool. All right. Well, thanks a lot, guys. We'll see you next Thursday.
Yep.
Unless another day works better, you let us know. Air drumming at this point.
And if John ever gets this music we've been working on for the pod, we have an intro and an outro. If we can get it to work.
Fucking A, man. You have no idea. I mean, I could do it. It would just be... it would be a long way around, and I don't want to have to do that.
You want the shortcut way.
Yeah. It worked one time for, but it hasn't worked in a long time. So, but all right, guys, thanks a lot. And we will catch you next week. All right, bye.